Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Shaw. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis, what's going on?
You had your caffeine or something?
I did. I'm ready to go.
Oh, my. Well, considering we were out late last night in Manhattan, cocktailing about the city. It's amazing we get any sleep at all, isn't it?
It does seem to have slowed you down. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm thrilled that we saw in New York City, we went to a club and we saw Jackie Naylor sing.
Great little club called Birdland. I'll tell you, it was a nice place to see the show.
Absolutely. And Jackie Naylor, she was a guest on the show way back. You can find that show archived on restaurantguysradio.com and listen to it if you like. And we play some of her music on that show. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. We saw her sing in New York, and this is the third time I've seen her sing in New York. And she has a new album out, and we should probably let everybody know that as if running radio shows and restaurants is enough, we've decided to go into another business we know nothing about, and we're putting on a concert. But, of course, we can't just put on any concert. We're putting on the New Year's Eve concert at the Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick. Jackie Naylor, who I have increasingly come to believe is, if not the most important, one of the most important female jazz vocalists singing today. I mean, she's incredible.
I'll tell you, she was spectacular. And she does a lot of different kinds of music. She does kind of the old standards. She does a lot of the Ella Fitzgerald style of music. But at the same time, she's doing covers of bands that you would be familiar with.
But not a cover. She's doing a reinterpretation.
Right, a reinterpretation, exactly.
So she did a Michael Stipe song, an R.E.M. song. It sounds ridiculous. But she did some songs from R.E.M. that were, she sort of slowed down and jazzed up that were just, I mean, break your heart, make you cry. Anyway, Jackie Naylor is going to be doing a private concert at Crossroads. We have 300 seats available. It's not inexpensive, as you might imagine. The idea is that it will be a discount for people who dine at either Catherine Lombardi
or Stage Left
before or after the performance. And I think our idea is, New Year's Eve used to be this big thing, and in the 70s and through the 80s, it was this big thing, and then it sort of climaxed in 2000, the whole big millennium thing, everybody, and that sort of fizzled. That didn't really happen for people, you know, and people have been sort of shy, and it's, we always do a dinner and dancing thing. We get a band and do a little dancing in the restaurant that we've done at Stage Left since 2002. Mm-hmm. Since 2002 we've been doing it, and we decided that this year it's time to put the swank back in New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And the thing that people always say about New Year's Eve is it's an anti-climax. You know, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to put a lampshade on your head and do all this great stuff.
I love the idea, and just, you know, forget about talking about our particular event at this point, but of getting dressed up for New Year's Eve, going out to kind of a big event, a real event, not something that's kind of made up, and a lot of events are kind of made up, but going to a real event, seeing a real performance, going out to a real dinner with some friends, going out in a group of six or eight, which is the way I like to dine on a night like that. That kind of bringing that back is something that I'm really interested in doing.
So we're gonna put together this concert. It's the first Restaurant Guys production, and of course we're going whole hog New Year's Eve. Wear a jacket. You don't have to dine at our restaurants. You could dine at other restaurants in town. New Brunswick has a lot of great restaurants in town. Tickets are $150 a person. You get a discount on dinner if you come to either of the restaurants. You can find out about this by going to stageleft.com or catherinelombardi.com or restaurantguysradio.com. And the idea is Jackie Naylor is a really important jazz singer. And you know what? I've asked our engineer to cue up a song. Here's a song by Jackie Naylor. This is an original. She does a lot of standards. Here's a bit of an original composition by Jackie from a song that she wrote from her first album called Shelter.
I know I can't left us to see eye to eye. I also know if we don't try to talk it through, it might work out, or might mean that we're through. And I'm not willing to take a chance of losing you. I am not willing to take that chance.
Get it?
See? She's awesome. That and that particular song is one of those incredible, incredible Jackie Naylor songs that you feel all the way through your body.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna just a couple.
You're gonna have to finish out the segment. I can't talk.
But Jackie's new album comes out at the end of August. And in September, we're going to have Jackie on the show again to talk about the new album. We're going to play some of the songs from the new album. The rendition that she does of, and I've got a preview copy of it, of Losing My Religion from R.E.M. will actually make you cry.
Unbelievable.
It is.
You wouldn't think that song could make you cry, would you? You know, and I want to, we get a lot of email from you all around the country, and we've had actually, in recent months, we've had a number of people, I think you people are crazy, but flying in from several cities across the country to have dinner with us. By the way, I don't really think you're crazy. I think it's a great compliment. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing it. Wherever you are in the country, if you're looking to do something really special on New Year's Eve to come to this concert, I mean, we're flying Jackie in from San Francisco.
And it's a great small venue. Crossroads is 300 seats. There are no bad seats in the house.
Yeah.
It should be a very, very special evening.
It's going to be the ticket for New Year's Eve this year. I think that you wouldn't want to miss that out. You couldn't go wrong. So check out the details at restaurantguysradio.com or at stageleft.com or katherinelombardi.com. We're going to put the swank back in New Year's Eve this year. So that's a little bit of ways ahead. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guests today are Marcel and Shannon Bureau. Marcel is the star of the Emmy Award-winning national PBS reality cooking series, The Kitchens of Bureau. He's the co-author of Bureau, European-inspired cuisine, and the forthcoming O, Span-Asian cuisine of Bureau. He's the chef owner of Bureau Restaurant in Wineboro and O Bureau Restaurant in Sheboygan. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
One question we'd like to start off with. Sheboygan.
You know, people make fun of New Jersey a lot, but here in New Jersey, we talk about Sheboygan.
Well, in Chicago, they make fun of Sheboygan.
Oh, well.
That's the way it works here. We are about 2 hours north of Chicago on the shores of Lake Michigan, and Marcel ended up here because I was here, and he got suckered into it.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So what's it like?
Lured into it, yeah. And never let go. You know? When they pull you in, you know how it is.
Yeah, right. You're there, you can't get out. What's the alarm?
Once they drag you in, you can't get out, exactly.
So what's it like having a restaurant? Is it a food town, or are you a destination? What's it like? You've built a real culinary empire from Sheboygan.
Yes, it wasn't a food town before we came here. Then we opened up two restaurants and a culinary school, and there have been a slew of other good restaurants that have opened since. We opened up here at the end of 2002 with our first restaurant, and we are a golf destination. We are about 5 minutes outside of Kohler, which has got two really great golf courses. We had the 2004 PGA Championship here and the 98 U.S. Women's Open. So the summers are booming here, and the winters are pretty much dead.
Well, yep, sorry to bother you right before lunchtime.
I understand it's a little cold out there in the wintertime in Wisconsin.
In the wintertime.
So you open up this restaurant in Sheboygan. Mm-hmm. What was the philosophy behind the restaurant, and did you know that you would have the clientele to come? What kind of restaurant did you initially open?
No, the philosophy actually is simple. I needed something to go to eat to. because, like Shannon said, there was nothing else around. I mean, you had your normal, you know, big chain restaurants, you know, we had like everywhere, you know, McDonald's, Burger mm-hmm. King, and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, you meet a couple friends and we talk about, you know, it would be nice to have something. So we always went to eat in Chicago or Milwaukee. And one day we just got so, I would say, tired of not having anything, we just decided to do it. Yeah. You know, I mean, we thought, okay, of course we did some research. Maybe we had Kohler, you know, with his American Club and with his restaurant. So we know there is clientele here. We have a lot of Chicago people in the summertime with their big boats escaping, you know, the big town.
Mm-hmm.
So we have enough people here, but nothing to feed them with. So we decided, you know, let's do it. We found a nice building. We built it out and opened the restaurant, and we're happy since then.
Sometimes you build it and they come.
Was the community skeptical when you opened up in a place where no one had done this before?
Of course they are. You know, I mean, how should I explain it? Sheboygan, small politics, as you can imagine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A very small town, 50,000 people live here about. Everything is run by the old guard. You know, when mm-hmm. you tell them what you want to do, they all get, you know, very anxious about
anything new, yeah.
You know, please don't do it. So it was, you know, they're looking out for their own, you know, the old, how you say, restaurateurs in town with their family dining restaurants. They didn't understand it would be not a competition. It would be just bringing
something different,
you know, a different flair to their town. It took them a while to get it, and I think some of them still didn't get it.
You know,
to this day.
I think one of the things that's very interesting, Mark and I opened our first restaurant 14 years ago in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our friends said to us, you're going to go to New Jersey and try and do, mm-hmm. you know, this a la carte market-driven, they're like, you'll never have the clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was that there were some good restaurants in town prior to us being here. We even worked at one. But what we were doing was a little bit different. And I think what's happened is this little town, which was a distressed urban center 15 years ago and is now a pretty revitalized city, it's more restaurants has made each restaurant healthier. You
exactly.
Know?
Correct.
Don't you find the same, like the more you become a sort of you hit a critical mass and you become the town becomes a dining destination.
Yes.
That's what's happened to Sheboygan. Now we've got people coming from Milwaukee and even from Madison, which is 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps everyone. People will come up for the weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they'll just eat all weekend, which we like.
We have many customers who come in and say, we cannot believe how many good restaurants are now in this town. You know, like I said, 5-6 years ago, you know, there was nothing. I mean, really nothing. I mean, you had your family restaurants. I'm not saying they are bad, you know.
Right, sure.
Just a different thing.
It was, you know, I mean, people like that flair, too, but, you know, there are also people who want to, you know, have that Chicago flair in a small town, you know, and have fun and eat, and it wasn't nothing here. And like I said, Sheboygan became a destination. If you guys are around, you will see what I mean. I mean, for the little downtown we have, we're having right in downtown, we have 6-7 good restaurants. You will not find it in any other little city in Wisconsin.
And you know what? The other thing about restaurants is by putting a community of restaurant employees in a town, and also by putting people on the streets at night, it really has a salutary effect on the town itself. And it
mm-hmm.
sounds like that's what you've done out there in Sheboygan as well.
And yeah, I mean, one restaurant ends up training people that end up working in the next restaurant, that end up training people that end up working in the next restaurant.
Of course, I mean, it's the best PR a town can have.
And also, if you want people who are out at night and not afraid to go for a beer at 11:30.
Correct.
Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Marcel and Shannon Biro. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Kathleen Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. You see, Kathleen Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or KatherineLombardi.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guests today, joining us from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Shannon and Marcel Biro are here to talk about their restaurants, their cooking school, their show, their books. You have a regular restaurant empire out there in Sheboygan.
Empire. I mean, we are still starting.
How about a small kingdom?
A small kingdom. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, now your first restaurant. Tell us about the two restaurants. Now you have two restaurants. We have two restaurants, and we were talking at the break about how we have some similar. Our lives have taken some similar paths career wise. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the difference between your two restaurants and what it's like to run two different restaurants in one small town.
Yeah, the first restaurant we opened up is called Biro. Okay, and it's European inspired. I mean, I'm European. I'm German. Okay, so of course there was a lot of influence from German food, Italian, Spanish, and French. And I'm very comfortable with that cuisine. Okay, so I thought my first restaurant has to be something I'm very, very comfortable with. You know, I know it will be fantastic, high quality. You know, and it worked just fantastic. And I wanted to also show, not just to Sheboygan, but also to America that I like to bring a message over, and that the German food, okay, is not. People always think when I say German, they always think, "Oh my God, sauerbraten,
right.
Sauerkraut,
sausages
and
schnitzel,
brown."
Right, they think German 1931.
Of course, exactly.
Me running around with Lederhosen.
I think we'd do better even if you wore the Lederhosen.
It'd be a draw, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but I would melt away in the kitchen. So I wanted to show them that, Germany is, has fantastic products. So, and just bring the message back over to people to not be scared, to embrace it. And so, that took off fantastic. I mean, more than actually I expected, to be quite honest. We chefs, we're always pessimistic versus optimistic. So, and, then we decided, was it 2 years or 3 years later, Shannon, to open?
2 years later.
2 years later, yeah, open O. And now you're wondering, the concept's totally different. It's called Spanish-Asian, okay? So you're doing Spanish and Asian food there. And I always was interested in, learning more, and I'm always drawn to this whole Asian, Japanese, Chinese, Thai.
Marcel, we have to take a break, but I want to talk about putting Spanish and Asian cuisine together. We have to take a quick break for the news. We'll be back right afterwards. Stick with us to hear more from Marcel and Shannon Biro about their restaurant and Spanish-Asian cuisine and their sort of media adventures as well. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're going to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Marcel and Shannon Biro own two restaurants in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. They have authored several books. They have a cooking school, and they also have their own cooking show on PBS. That's an Emmy Award-winning national PBS reality cooking show. And they join us today from Sheboygan, and we're talking about their first restaurant that they opened. Marcel is originally from Germany, and it was very European restaurant. And the second restaurant that you've opened is Span-Asian cuisine. Why why put Spanish cuisine and Asian cuisine together?
They're very simple. I mean, I like, first of all, the Spanish is very simplistic, very rustic, very down-to-earth, okay? And the Asian is actually the same thing, but very simple. So I try to combine those two flares and flavors onto one plate. And, you know, how should I explain this? Is and I did it for, you know, for my customers here at Bureau Restaurant. You always do, like, little test runs of certain cuisines. It took off better than I actually thought. You know, people were so blown away at how you can fuse, you know.
And you spent some time studying in Andalusia as well.
Yes, I did, correct. I worked in Spain for about a year. So, I mean, I never worked in Asia, I have to say that, but I always was drawn to the cuisine because it's so simplistic but so flavorful, full of explosions of flavor, and I thought those two would match so, so well. And, you know, we tried it out, you know, it took off big time, and now we are, you know, expanding that concept actually nationwide.
Let's talk a little bit about the television show. You have you and your wife are doing a show now on PBS called The Kitchens of Bureau, and a really interesting show. I really like the way you've kind of put the show together, where it's kind of a combination of recipe, cooking show, sourcing of ingredients, tips, preparing wine, all, kind of all together, fused together in one show.
You asked us on the break, you said, how do you guys run two restaurants and do a radio show? How do you run two restaurants and do a television show? What, are you crazy?
Great, we don't believe in sleep.
Yeah, exactly. That was a very dumb question. I'm sorry about that.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. So, but what prompted you to do a television show, and what's the mission of the show? What can you do through a show that you can't do through your kitchens?
Well, Marcel is really great introducing people to cuisines that they might not have any familiarity with. And I see when he does appearances, you know, cooking classes or demonstrations, or, you know, on our book tour, he's just great with a crowd. And I just thought, oh, wonderful, let's get him a really, really big crowd.
Right.
And what we did is we shot a pilot. And then we waited for about 8 months and started kicking ourselves, thinking we just made the most expensive home video of all time. But we did get a yes, and we actually got clearance for 26 episodes nationwide. And the show is just really different. I think that's why we've been so successful. It's half standard cooking show, half reality, because in the second half of the show, we're actually in our restaurant kitchens preparing the same items that Marcel prepared at the top of the show for actual restaurant guests.
But staying real, you know, you see all these TV shows, like you had Rocco's on TV,
yeah.
You know, and then you have Hell's Kitchen, which is, I think, a very nice show.
We hate that show.
You know.
So does Marcel.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something? Here's a guy who takes a housewife from, well, I would normally say Sheboygan or Jersey, who he taught how to make a souffle 6 minutes ago, and he throws her up behind the line. And,
I totally agree with
and
says, why can't you do a souffle? What's
no,
the matter with you,
no,
you
he
idiot?
Didn't say that. He says,
Michelin star food, correct?
Yeah, well, and not only that, he's everything that is the bad stereotype of what a chef was. He screams at people and berates people, and he talks about respect, but he shows none.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you, you know, and I would have to say, honestly, if every chef would be like this, or executive chef, or how you want to call them, would treat the employees that way, there would be no restaurants on earth.
Absolutely.
Because no person would want to work for a person like that. Mm-hmm. I understand that sometimes you might have to put your fist down on the table, but I think it can be done in a different way.
Yeah.
And what he is doing there, I think it's a big joke. I think they should bring real chefs into that show, you know, and I think then you can watch him maybe sweat a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch Top Chef?
What Top Chef, yes, I watched that.
I thought that was, as far as the reality television shows go, besides yours, but I thought that just showed completely the difference when you had Tom Colicchio and people really striving.
We had
to
people who were culinary professionals.
Real, the real thing, correct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's how it should be. I mean, it should be. I mean, it's like, how should I explain? You know, putting you know, some amateurs into a race car and hope they will survive the race.
That's very well put. Because you know what? For the guys producing the show, they're hoping they don't survive the race. They're hoping for a big wreck.
It's just show, you know, and we didn't try to do this with our show at all. You know, we tried to be real. And how you see me on TV, that's how I am, you know, because if you treat your employees right, you know, you get good quality, and it will reflect in the food. I believe in that. You know, if you scream at that, the food will scream.
And it doesn't mean that you can't be tough on your employees. It doesn't mean that you can't have exacting standards. It doesn't mean that you don't have to berate them. You don't have to belittle them. You don't have to scream.
They want to learn. You know, and the only thing they want is respect, and I want respect in return.
So why do you think, and you know, to look at your show and to look at Colicchio on Top Chef, what do you think is the fascination with people that they, that, you know, there are stockbrokers and accountants and people who do other things for a living, but there's this real draw. People want to have a reality show where they know what it's like to work in a restaurant. What is it that people are drawn to in your show and other good shows?
I think it's because everyone can cook. They might not cook well, but it's something that they actually have experienced, even if it's opening up a box of mac and cheese. Whereas some of the other professions, people would have no clue how to go about doing that. I think it's if they can envision themselves in that situation. A show has got to be relatable, and if it's not, it makes it really tough to bring it across to the audience.
There is one thing I have to say to this. I think it makes people feel alive. You know, because we will talk about it maybe later a little bit. With my culinary school, you know, I have a lot of people coming in, like we said, stockbrokers, lawyers, doctors, who show interest into the cooking. And when I talk to them, I say they are bored with that job. You know, it's every day the same thing. I think it's a little bit like going to a factory. You know, I'm not saying factory work is bad. It's just you go every day, you do every day the same moves, the same thing. And I think cooking, you know, relieves stress. You know, it makes them feel alive. You see an instant accomplishment, you know.
Yeah.
You make people smile. What's better than that? You know, you cook something, you put, lots of sweat, lots of hours into it. But what's greater than walking out in the dining room and seeing people look at you and, oh, wow, that was the best thing ever.
Well,
you know, as a stockbroker, you never get this. Yes, you get lots of green, but that doesn't make you really happy, you know. A smile is more than, you know, anything of those things can do for you.
Something I tell all of the employees who work for me, you're very fortunate, okay? An insurance salesman sells something to people that they have to have but don't really want.
Yes.
You're selling in a restaurant atmosphere something people don't have to have but really want.
That's great.
You know, it's like if you, so many jobs, like a policeman has to deliver bad news or deal with people that don't want to have.
Well, your steak's going to be another 5 minutes, ma'am.
Right, that's the worst that we have to do. But everybody, I mean, you go to the doctor and you're hoping for good news, but you may get bad news. When you walk into a restaurant, you expect to have a good time, and it's almost as if, for most people, all the restaurant can do is screw it up. You know what I mean? As long as you don't screw it up, people have come to you to be happy and to be and I think that restaurateurs create a locus of community, and I think that's what people are looking for and hungering for, is that communal hearth. I mean, what do you think?
It's being in charge of it, yeah.
Yes, and we see that. I mean, we've created a little family at our restaurant, not just with our staff, but with front of house. We've kind of recreated the European village restaurant right here. Everyone knows everyone else, and you hear people talking back and forth from tables, you know, maybe across the dining room. It's wonderful.
I love that, and that's one of the reasons that I think individually owned small restaurants have something that corporate restaurants can never have. That your Bennigan's can never have that.
Well, we get to do a lot of fun things as restaurant owners, including things like foraging for ramps. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants. Our guests today are Marcel and Shannon Biro of the famous cooking show, Restaurants in Sheboygan, and also several books, which you can find out more about them on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and we'll link you up with how to get in touch with them to watch their show, buy their books, and visit Sheboygan for dinner.
So we talked about earlier before in the show, before we were talking about reality shows and how your show is part cooking show and part reality show at the same time. One of the great experiences that we have as restaurant owners is sourcing really special ingredients, is finding things that are really special. And one of the episodes of your show that I got to watch was you foraging for ramps and going out into the Wisconsin desert jungle. What are we going to call it?
Also known as Lake Michigan and forest.
Yeah, Mark's not really one of those nature guys. Mark's just kind of a city kid.
And so foraging for ramps and finding those kind of premium ingredients that we're constantly looking for. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, it was, you know, for me, it was very, very interesting because, you know, I grew up in Germany, like I said, and of course we have ramps there. And when I moved here to Sheboygan, you know, I wasn't very familiar with the area, but my maître d', Lawrence, you know, he said one day, Marcel, it was in May, you know, it was like the second week, he said, Marcel, you want to come and pick morels with me? I said, what did you just say? He said, yeah, let's pick some morels. I didn't know and I couldn't believe that you just can go here in the woods and pick real morels.
Yeah.
So he took me, you know, by the hand. We walked through the woods.
do you want to know any more?
That's another show, yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of songs were you humming?
So, and yeah, we started picking morels and I couldn't believe it, you know. And then the next thing I knew, you know, we started picking rams and, you know, and then I brought it back to the restaurant. People asked me, so what are rams? You know, explain it to them. You work with it. It's so much fun, but you can just find right, you know, on your back doorsteps.
You know, I want to touch briefly, and we don't have much time left, but mm-hmm. in a lot of what I've read about you, you came from East Germany. And
yes,
so
sure.
You grew up, and some of what you've written is that you grew up with food as a precious commodity. You know, mm-hmm. we're so used to abundance here in the West
yeah.
that you came from a different perspective. And now we're sort of learning to treasure food again.
Correct.
But you have
mm-hmm.
a different perspective on that whole thing, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I mean, like you said, you know, East Germany, you know, everything was very limited, you know. We had a fruit called 14-day fruit. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, what's that?
That's an orange.
Really?
Yes, and because it just came out for Christmas, 2 weeks prior to Christmas, the only time a year. So that's why it was called the 14-day fruit.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so we had, you know, oranges from time to time. When you were lucky or you had good connections, you got a banana a year. You know, so it was very, very sad. And, of course, but on the other hand, it was also very good for me because you cherish, you use what you have, you use your local farmers, you know, you find different ways and sources to get ingredients, you know. So really, really, really cherish what you have, you know. If you have too much, you know, and too many sources, I think we all get a little bit too carried away, as you can see with lots of these fusion dishes that are out there, you know. I think, you know, when you see what's happening with some of the foods, how you're put together, I think it's very sad, you know?
Well, I also think what's changing in people's perspective is, look, the way that agribusiness, this is for the listeners, you've heard us go on about this before, but the way that huge agribusiness corporations produce meat and they treat animals as basically little meat machines, and the way that you get your pork to be 97 cents a pound is you have this abundance, but it's no respect for the food. It's no respect for the quality of the food. It's no respect for the animal and the way that the animal lives its life. And I think what chefs like you, Marcel, and hopefully like we and our chef, Anthony Bucco, are trying to do is to bring people back to an appreciation that food is precious.
I agree. You know, that's the thing that many people don't know, that Germany is actually the birthplace of all organic foods, you know. And we still do that. I mean, we have the highest food laws there are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and eventually, I mean, you can see now in America the turn too, where more Americans, you know, looking more for organic, more healthier, you know, going back to their farmers. And I'm really so happy about it.
Yeah.
You know, because we're doing this for centuries over there in Germany, you know. And, you know, the message is coming slowly over the big ocean again, you know, that people go back to your roots, you know, be done with all this injected, you know, medicated stuff. And I'm so happy to see that. And, you know, I think it will just be better for all of us. And I just have to get rid of all those big chains. And I think the world will be a better place.
Yeah, sure would. So, Shannon, tell us what's new for you guys. What's coming up? What are we doing?
We are working on a restaurant expansion right now. We're going to open a Biro restaurant and wine bar out in Los Angeles. And we are also going to open an O out there shortly thereafter. And we're also working on the Miami market. So we'll still have some roots here in the Midwest.
So
but,
I'm pretty sure you
really
guys
eager to get back into a major market. We're also going to continue with our culinary schools, which is for home and professional chefs, and start training people in other parts of the country.
I'm pretty sure you guys said, "How do you guys find the time to do all this stuff?" to us earlier today.
How do you guys do it?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
I pawn off all my work on other people.
We're almost out of time, but I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. You were great.
Oh, thank you for having us. It was fun.
It was super. You can find out more out there in restaurant land about Marcel and Shannon Biro by going to our website, www.restaurantguysradio.com. We'll put up a bunch of links to their books, their show, their cooking school, their restaurant. And if you're going to be out in Wisconsin, you know where to eat. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We hope you enjoyed listening to Marcel Biro. I didn't really know about this guy until just recently. He's a very fascinating character. I mean, you know.
He was kind of neat. I very much enjoyed the interview with him and his wife, Shannon. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to Francis about and have all our listeners listen to at the same time. One of the things he does while he's cooking in his cooking show that I think that really every great chef does, and every great chef has to taste the food, and you want to taste things through various stages. But one of the things that he did as he was making various vinaigrettes or whatever else he was making is he was perpetually smelling what he made.
Mm-hmm.
He was forever putting his nose in and smelling, does this smell right? And Francis and I just recently were teaching a cocktail class, and that's one of the things we teach our bartenders at the same time, is you want to constantly smell things to make sure that they smell the way they're supposed to smell.
And even if you're making it for the first time, you're mm-hmm. smelling it and putting that in your memory bank. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, if the dish turns out to be right, you want to be able to recreate it at various stages of the process. And I think that was a great comment to connect it to cocktails, because mm-hmm. one of the ways that we teach people to make cocktails, and cocktails are pretty important to us both in Catherine Lombardi, where we have this amazing cocktail program, and when we teach out of house now, we're getting a bunch of people who want us to come and teach their bartenders how to bartend, mm-hmm. how to bartend our way. And one of the things that we were taught by people who taught us years and years ago was you make a cocktail, even if it's one that's going to eventually have ice in it and you shake it, is you make the cocktail in the shaker without ice, and you smell it as you go mm-hmm. to get the balance, because once it's in the ice, you that gets muddled, and then you add ice, and then you shake it.
And your sense of smell will tell you, not just, you know, it's not just for the memory banks, which is a very important reason that we smell things, but at the same time, your sense of smell will tell you if something is wrong,
yep.
if something is out of place, if you've put a rotten egg in your drink. If you know, your sense of smell is, I mean, how many times have you smelled the milk in the fridge before you drank it?
But you're absolutely right. And very often, as we go through in making a drink, you'll put your nose in and say, oh, a little more bitter, a little more this, a little more that. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. If you want to find out more about the kitchens of Biro, you can check them out at restaurantguysradio.com. Hope you do. So I hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon. We'll be right back.